So this week begins the book, the Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, which, to begin with, discusses all the details of the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, and the other sacrifices that were offered in the tabernacle, in the Mishkan. So it wasn't all animal sacrifices. Sometimes a person could offer a mincha, which was a meal offering. So if somebody didn't have money to be able to afford a live animal, then very often they could offer something else. The main thing is that all these offerings are called karbonos. Korban. There's a Torah from the Sea of Lublin. He says, Odam ki yakriv mikem korban lashem. He translates the whole pasuk, the whole verse, which normally we translate as Odam ki yakriv mikem korban lashem. If a person from you, among you, wants to offer a sacrifice to God, min ha-behema, from the animals, min ha-boka, from the cattle, min ha-tzoyim, from the sheep. It says, Odom ki yakriv mikem karban Lashem, if you want to help somebody to draw close to God, if you want to do kiruv, the word karban, which we translate as offering or sacrifice, really means closeness. Odom ki yakriv mikem karban Lashem, a person who wants to be involved in drawing people close to God, min ha-behema, instead of trying to talk musar at somebody, to tell them how to live their life, come at somebody, you see them doing something wrong, so you feel the need to correct them. Sea of Lublin says, min ha-behema. The only way, or the best way, the first way, is pray that this person have all the behemoth stuff. That this person be blessed with all the things that they need for their physical body, for their physical well-being, for their physical pleasure. In our bokar, the word bokar that we usually translate as cattle, he says this is like bikur cholim. See, basically pray this person should have a good life, a healthy life. Minatsoin, the sheep, says that refers to bone chai, that mezoina. This is, refers to having children that are called sheep, the Yiddish kinderlach are called tsoin kochim, the holy sheep. And tsoin also means food, wealth. So if you pray that the person that you want to help should have physical comfort, physical health, physical happiness, that's the best way to bring somebody close to do kiruv. And I think that this Torah really he got from his Rebbe, from the Rebbe Lemelech, who would be mamish moise nefesh, he would be ready to die to help somebody have parnosa, to help somebody have a good life. It wasn't, he wasn't always trying to get people to change their ways and talk them and let them see the error of their ways and talk to them into being better Jews. And Rebbe Lemelech knew that the secret to tshuva, the secret to helping somebody get back to where they came from, is to pray for them to have all good things. And in fact, we have witnessed this teshuva movement in the started in 1970s and 80s. I remember in my youth there were no Baal Teshuvas. It wasn't until the Jewish people after World War II started to benefit from this great wealth that was the aftermath of the rebuilding of Europe and America after the war. That's when we saw this tremendous flowering of the Baal Teshuva movement, which basically proves, Rebbe Lemelech, that You want the Yidden to do tshuva. You want to Adam ki yakriv kim karban l'Hashem. You want to draw somebody close to God. Then it's mina behema. It's going to come from having so much gashmi, so much physical wealth and abundance, that a person says, you know, what's all this mean? And then we go looking for meaning. And the looking for meaning is the opening to teshuva. So this week talks about a sin offering. Nefesh ki secheta, a soul that sins. So the Medrash, a long Medrash, not learn the whole Medrash. The Medrash basically asks, was it nefesh ki secheta? How could a soul sin? A body, I can understand, sinning. So the Medrash brings a moshel, brings a parable of a king who has this beautiful garden, orchard, and he had these very special fruits. These fruits they used to ripen early. You know, so it wasn't once upon a time. It wasn't like today. You can go into a supermarket and buy oranges and apples, more or less any time that you want to. A couple of thousand years ago, there was this Indian of Bichriois, right? That certain people, wealthy people, or people who had gardeners who were geniuses, you know, they had trees they were planted in certain places, and they would ripen a few days or maybe a few weeks earlier than the general fruit. And can you imagine what it was like? You hadn't tasted a date or a fig or pomegranate or something like that for a year, and your body was craving it. So the king, he has this paradise, voiloi bichriois. So he doesn't want them to get eaten or stolen. Vohoshiv shnei shomrim. So he puts two guards to take care nobody should come in and steal the fruit. So what about the guards themselves? Yeah, who's going to guard the guards? So echot chiger ve'echot suma. So he makes the guards, one of them is a cripple, can't walk, and the other one is blind, can't see, right? So between the two of them, they'll watch out and they'll call an alarm if anybody comes to steal the fruit. So what did they do? Hirkivu chiga al gabi suma. So the man says that the cripple, the one who couldn't walk, he said to the blind man, you know, I can see those fruit. And the blind man said, yeah, I can smell them. He says, but I'm not able to find them or get to the tree, whatever. And the one who couldn't walk, he said, you know, lift me up on your shoulders, carry me, and I'll tell you exactly where the tree is. And between the two of us, we'll find our way. So they did. They ate all the bichrius. Comes the king, and he finds all the fruits eaten. He turns to the cripple and he says, what did you do? He says, What did I do? I can't even walk. And he turns to the blind man, what did you do? He says, what did I do? What about? Well, there was something here, I never saw anything. So the king, he puts the chigger on top of the suma, he puts the cripple on the blind man, and he says, oh, you sinned together, I'll punish you together. So the Medrash says that's the nefesh and the guf, the soul and the body are here. And you know, when the soul says, well, I couldn't have sinned, well, who am I? I'm just a ethereal nothing, you know. And the body says, I couldn't have sinned. I mean, take away my soul, I'm just a lump of clay. So God puts them two together and then says, all right, so now the two of you together, give din v'cheshbon. Pay your accounts. So the Nois Desha, the son of the Ishbit, says, what does it mean? What does the Medrash really mean? He said, The Yetzirah has two aspects. We have in ourselves two flaws. One is a flaw in the body, in the physical, and one is a flaw in the spiritual. He says the body represents the blind man. Why? Because my body can go and choose bad, even if it knows it's bad, even if it knows that it's bad for the body. The body can act blindly and can swap the light for the dark and the dark for the light and pretend to itself that it's choosing light when it's not, it's choosing darkness. And so in the paradigm of the blind, a person can choose to smoke cigarettes. The body can choose to smoke cigarettes. The body can make the smoker smoke another cigarette in spite of knowing how dangerous and damaging and critical smoking cigarettes is. It's mamish blind, refusing to see. The nefesh, how does the soul sin? What's the flaw in the soul? It's a cripple. Even though the soul knows right from wrong, and even though the soul hears the Dvar Torah, it learns. The soul can learn. Even though the soul can even elevate itself and grow, nevertheless, it can be lazy. It can't be bothered to do the work. The soul can become, the soul can ultimately, the ultimate Yetzirah of the soul is earth. Don't wanna move. I'll just sit here. Why do I need to go to all the trouble of all the strife, all the striving? What for? Yeah, all right, so there's a better way. But, you know, I can't be bothered. I tried it already, didn't work for me. That was last year. I did this way already. It's too much to ask. The nefesh, that's the chet of the nefesh, that it makes itself a chiga, cripple. So the Rebbe says if a person sees that he has the chesaron in the nefesh and the guf, if a person sees, you know, I can see the flaw in my body and the way that my body will make light dark and dark light, and I see the flaw in my soul, I see how I'm inclined to not be bothered. That is the way, if I'm aware, if I keep my awareness, that is a way to climb out of the hole that I'm in. But if a person is markiv the chiganism, I write, that part of me which can't be bothered doing the spiritual exercise, the work, that body then rides, that nefesh then rides on the guf which is blind, then I eat, I consume everything that was supposed to be precious. What does it mean? If I tell myself, I don't need to do the work. I already did it. That's the biggest sin. So long as I am aware and I remain aware that my body is blind and my soul is crippled, if I maintain this awareness all my life, every day, day and night, I don't fool myself into thinking I don't need to do any more work. I'm done. I can accept myself who I am. All these rationalizations for not doing any more spiritual work. But if I tell myself, Gewalt. I'm happy who I am, and so forth. So the Rebbe says, this really opens the door to everything evil. And that's why the Mishnah says, "Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moischa," not to believe in yourself until the day you die, because that is essentially riding the cripple on the blind. So, if we're already talking about the Yetzer Hara, I want to learn the Torah really in the also in the Ois Desha, in the son of the Ishbitzer. He brings it in respect to Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres, and he asks why Sukkos is 7 days long. In Pesach, I can understand it's 7 days long, because from the time we left Egypt, which is the first day of Pesach, we weren't really out of Egypt until we went through the Red Sea, which was on the seventh day of Pesach. So I can understand it was 7 days. But Yontif, for the whole Kabbalah Satoira, for the whole receiving the Torah on Sinai, I have 1 day of Shavuos. So why do I need 7 days for Sukkos? I only need 1 day for Shavuos. He said, I need 7 days for Sukkos because the whole of Sukkos only takes me to Shmini Atzeres. And Shmini Atzeres is the big Yontif, the biggest Yontif. It's the Yichud, the unification of God and the Jewish people. To get there, I need 7 days. What are the 7 days about? So it brings a Gemara. The Gemara says that there are seven names to the Yetzer Hara. There are seven names to the evil inclination. The Gemara lists each of them, and the Rebbe says that each name for the Yetzer Hara, for the evil inclination, represents another aspect of the evil inclination. Since we're already talking about the chigger riding on the suma, the cripple riding on the blind, so I thought let's take this opportunity and explore this amazing, amazing Torah. So he says that each of the days of Sukkos, which represent the sefiras of Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and then Malchus, that each of them represents the paradigm or the opposite of the paradigm of each of these sefirot and the personalities that we associate with the sphere of Chesed is Avram, and the sphere of Gevura is Yitzhak, and so forth. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Sukkim, and the Rebbe says that that's why this Gemara is in the Masechet of Sukkah, because it's connected to the 7 days of Sukkah. So, it says, if you want, you can invite the Ushpizin into your Sukkah and refuse to let them go until they help you overcome each one a different aspect of the Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara says, the first name of the Yetzer Hara is Ra, bad. We find in the first chapters of Genesis, it's ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav. God says that the desires in the heart of a person are bad right from their youth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the yetzer ra. So what does it mean from the youth? Min urav means from the moment a person leaves or starts to wake up, to go to be born, right? So when the baby triggers the mother to go into labor, that's the moment when the Yetzer Hara creeps in. Why? Because the baby doesn't think of the mother. Baby doesn't think of anything. It's a me, me, me. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm cold, I'm tired, I'm lonely, I need to be hugged. Baby's not really interested in the welfare of his or her parents. Did my mommy sleep enough? My mommy tired, exhausted? My mommy ill, Khalil? It's like, I need, I'm going to cry until I get me, me, me. And in each of us, this Yetzirah that's called Ra, that can't even really see the other person at all, can only see the self, it's very small-minded. To combat this, you have to be Avraham Avinu, which is Chesed. Chesed doesn't see the self at all. In fact, the Baal Chesed, the meaning of Chesed, is that it doesn't look even to the worthiness of the receiver. So, the Baal Chesed is the one that can nurse the viper in the bosom, right? Oh, this snake is cold. Here, I'll bring it, put it inside my shirt and warm it up, and then it bites me, right? Why did I do it? Because I saw the creature was mamish suffering from cold. So I bring it into the warmth, kills me. That's chesed. It's the opposite of the ra. And in each of us, we have that aspect of ra, which is, I can't see anybody else. I can only see me. And to the opposite of that, we also have inside ourselves. We also have Avraham inside ourselves, who is capable of chesed, of giving without any aspect of self, without caring for the self even. Even if it's chesed that endangers the self. So, because I have the Yetzirah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God himself called it evil, so I have to invite Avraham Avinu to help me awaken in myself that ability to be good regardless of the self. So Moshe, the second name for the evil desire is Orel, the uncircumcised. Moshe Rabbeinu calls the Yetzahara Orlas Levavchem, the uncircumcised heart. So the Rebbe says, what does it mean, uncircumcised heart? That the foreskin covers the Milo, that prevents the light shining in, it prevents the light shining out. That there is something inside us that blocks us. There's something inside us that mamish prevents us from learning, prevents us from communicating, prevents us from loving, prevents us from reaching out, from connecting. That is the Aras Halev, the uncircumcised heart. So, who is the circumcised? Yitzchak is the circumcised. Yitzchak is the first Jewish child who is circumcised at 8 days old. And in Parshas Tetzaveh, it talks about the Shemen Zayis, the Menorah, the olive oil. It talks about the Medrash opens up and asks, on what day should we circumcise the child? And the Menorah, the light, is connected to the Bris Milah, to circumcision. So the Rebbe says, because Yitzchak is the paradigm. I mean, Yitzchak was so circumcised that to be in Yitzchak's presence was to be able to see the Shekhinah. Yitzchak was so transparent. There was nobody who's ever been so transparent like Yitzchak. Yitzchak was so transparent that he could look into himself and tremble in the presence of God. And this umaltim es arlas levavchem, this ability to be transparent, to allow the light in, to allow the Torah in, to allow other person in, to allow yourself to come out, to allow yourself to shine through to other people, to allow yourself to shine through to yourself. This is the middah of Yitzchak, which is the middah of Bris Milah. And this is the opposite. So I have the timtum halev, I have the blockage, I have the uncircumcised heart. Look how Yitzchak and Rivka are together. Why are Yitzchak and Rivka together in a way that Avimelech looks at Yitzchak and Rivka together, immediately he knows that they are man and wife? Because Yitzchak is not metumtim. Yitzchak is not blocked. How come I can walk with my best friend and somebody looking at me doesn't know that this person is my best friend? He says, who's this person with you? Why? Because I'm so blocked that it's nothing. Nothing is transparent. Nothing can be seen. The person looking at me, it isn't obvious to him that the person that I'm with is my best friend, because something inside me is Oriel. That blockedness prevents me from seeing my own light, prevents me from hearing the Torah, prevents everything from everything. So on the second day of Sukkot, I can invite Yitzchak to help me circumcise my heart. Yeshaya, the prophet Isaiah, called the Yetzahara Michshel, a stumbling block. Harimu Michshel Miderech Ami, the Gemara says that they remove the stumbling block from the road of my people. So Yetzahara is a stumbling block. No, who removed the stumbling block? Yaakov Avinu, he had fooled his father. He had fooled his father first into believing that he wasn't worthy of the blessings. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Aholim, he doesn't take any risks. We've learned many times in Ishbitz Torah, Yitzchak Avinu, he knows that you can't have anything great without taking a great risk. He doesn't see Yaakov ever taking any risks in the spiritual world, in the physical world. Yaakov is a scary pussycat. He sits at home and he's a mommy's boy. His mommy loves him. And Yitzchak was about to give the brocha of Eretz Yisrael and Olam Habo and the Torah, everything to Esau. And Yaakov removes the stumbling block from in front of Yitzchak. So Yaakov is the paradigm of removing the michshal. Yaakov is the ultimate person of activity. And you know, one of the big things, one of the big problems of the world of Torah is that so often, you know, Chachamim, Tzaddikim are ready to speak out, Lahosi Mechshel, to remove the stumbling block. The real stumbling block, sometimes we're not ready to see. And for me, always when I look at what happened in Europe in the Second World War, the Holocaust, the Shoah, you know, I have to say that here was a failure of the Chachamim, of the leaders, Man Molche Rabbonon. It was a failure, Lahosi Michshol. That not speaking out and not taking action and then saying, you know, let's leave things be, let's not make waves. This Jewish thing, let's not make waves. Yaakov Avinu made waves. Inside myself also, you know, I see something bad happening. It's like, nah, let somebody else speak out. I see something inside my own self. And it's like, oh, never mind that. You know, just overlook it. I see something inside myself. I'm about to do something. Or I see myself doing something that I shouldn't do. And I don't speak out of myself. I don't speak up. I don't name what it is I'm doing. I fudge. Say, hey, and then we'll look at it later. Let's do it first. Like going through a red light. I come to traffic light, I can't be bothered stopping. Hey, Hashi, you know, going through a red light is like shooting a gun. The fact that you didn't kill somebody last time is because nobody was there. But running a red light is gefela chazar. Ah, you know, I'm not ready to look at this. Huh? I'm not ready to look at this. So I have to invite Yaakov Avinu into my life. and invite Yaakov Avinu to lehosimechsha, right, to speak up when it comes to removing the stumbling block. David HaMelech calls the Yitzhara Tome, unclean. Shenema, as it is written, Lev Tohoi Brolikim, Broli Elikim, please God, give me a pure heart, a clean heart. If there's a Tohoir heart, if there's a lave of Tahara, so obviously there's a lave of Tume. What does it mean, a lave of Tume? What does it mean, a Tume in a heart? Tume in a heart means that it's always biased. An unclean heart means that even when you're doing something good, you think to yourself, what's in this for me? Well, how can I benefit? I'm doing somebody a favor. Let's see, who can I let know that I'm doing somebody a favor so they should know I'm a good person? I can't do anything. I can't do a mitzvah without showing off. I can't learn a Torah without letting everybody know, psst, it's gevalt Torah that I learned. So, I can't even do a mitzvah without finding some way that this mitzvah should benefit me. So this is, in a sense, you know, if I look back at the tree of the Sephiros, this is underneath Avraham. We said that Chesed was the opposite of Ra, and Ra could only see the self. So this is the next generation of only see the self. That even when I'm doing a mitzvah and I'm reaching, I'm helping somebody, I'm doing bikur cholim, I'm taking him to the hospital, I'm thinking to myself, psst, aren't I great? Aren't I wonderful? I hope he's grateful to me for going out of my way. So this is the Ra, the next generation Ra. This is called Tummy. That even when I'm doing something good, this thing is unclean now because I just can't remove the self. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu brings us the Poro Adumo, which is Metaher Tmeim. It's even Metaher Begodim. And even the clothing of Tame, it can be Metaher. Moshe Rabbeinu can take me so far that even the other way, even the bad thing that I do, I can find something good. I can go minakotze lakotze. Yeah, true, it's metame tahirim, and I'm not supposed to go there. But you know something? Moshe Rabbeinu can show me a way that even if I've done something bad, I can find something good that I meant to do inside it. That even when I'm being really selfish, I can find something, I can find a way of turning what I'm doing around so that I should start thinking of the other person. This is Moshe Rabbeinu shows me how to be metaher tmeim, how to take my tum and heart and turn it into something pure, and that I can find something altruistic even when I'm about to do something not good. And that's why all the poros, all the poradumas, all the red heifers, it was all called by Moshe's name. Because inside in the Yid, in the deepest depths of the Yid, there's always something that has inside L'shem Shemayim to do something for the glory of heaven. And I need Moshe Rabbeinu to teach me that. So I can stop focusing on myself even when I do a mitzvah and start finding inside myself that aspect of the self that is always ready to die for the glory of heaven. Shlomo HaMelech calls the Yetzirah Soina, the enemy. Imrov Soinecho Achileh, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Zukt the Rebbe, what's Midas Kapdonus? It's part of me that is bad-tempered, irascible, mean. And that is on the tree, if I look underneath Gevura, it's just response to people, response to the world with meanness, with anger, with rage, with hatred, with revenge, with vengefulness and resentment and so forth. There's that part of me which responds to everything and to everybody. Like, what did you do for me today? What are you going to do for me? Why you want something from me? So then comes Aaron HaKohen, who is Ohev Shalom. He loves peace. And peace doesn't mean you're living alone on a desert island. That's not peace. Peace is always between people. V'roidev Shalom. And he goes running for peace. Ohev Sabriyos. And he loves people. He loves creatures. U'mekarvan le'Torah. And he loves drawing people to the Torah. So what does it mean? It means that in everything that happens to me, in every person that I meet, in every transaction, every time I communicate with somebody, instead of looking for what's annoying about that person, instead of looking for what's irritating about what they say or what they do, instead of finding in everything that I look at, in everything that happens to me, the faults, I look for the love inside everything. I look for the good inside everything. And that I need Aaron HaKohen to help me. So that's an aspect of the Yitzhahara, that he's a soiner, that he's a hater, that he's a cynic, that he's a downer, that he's an arguer, that he's a contrarian, that he's a rejecter and a naysayer. I need to wake up inside me the Aaron HaKohen that is opens his arms. And just like Yitzchak shows us how to be circumcised, to not be blocked, Aaron shows me how to not hate. Yecheskel HaNavi calls the Yitzhahara Evan, a stone. Shenema, as it is written, V'hasiroisi yisleif for Evan. God says, I will remove the heart of stone from inside you, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So the Rebbe says, what does this mean? It means part of me is stone. I hear the Dvar Torah. I hear it in the deepest place. It comes inside me, and I want to be good, but I'm frozen by my own desires for pleasure, for profit, for gain, whatever it is, for honor, for respect. I'm frozen. That part of me that wants to grow spiritually is frozen into a rock-solid hardness by those other parts of me which are so powerful. I'm like in stasis. And in the science fiction movies where you see this person, he get hit by this ray, and all of a sudden he's frozen into this solid. Which says that part of me that is so powerful with enjoying, or not enjoying, but so powerfully driven and in the grips of the compulsion, can zap that part of me which wants to grow into just to be a stone. Keneged this, I need to call up Yosef. Yosef, Eshes Potiphar, we know Eshes Potiphar, she put a special collar on him, the Medrash says. She put like a Y-shaped collar to force his head so that he could never put his head down. You know, Yosef didn't want to look at what he shouldn't look at. Mitzrayim was full of things that he didn't want to look at, so he would put his head down. So Potiphar's wife, she put on this special collar like with a Y-shaped yoke underneath his beard, so he couldn't even put his head down to not look. And when his body became hard with the tava, what did he do? He melted it. Yosef has the secret of melting himself inside to become fluid, to not ever get frozen into the stone. Yosef never has a lev evan. Yosef has a lev bosar. You would think bosar, meat, fleisch, usually means gashmias. But you know something? Yosef is able to use his gashmias to see demus diuknoi shel oviv. He's able to call up the shechina in his gashmias, in his physical. heat of passion and never ever turn to stone inside. That spiritual part of him becomes frozen. Never happens with Yosef. And I can call up inside me that inning of Yosef, which always is fluid and able to adapt and move and is always flexible and never turns to Lev Eved. The final one, Yoel, the prophet Joel, he calls the Yitzhara Tzifoini, the hidden one. So the Rebbe says, the hidden one is the worst one. The hidden one, mamish, you spend your whole life thinking you're doing mitzvahs. You've worked a whole life to find a spiritual path, and the Yitzhara creeps in. And the spiritual path is nothing but the Yitzhar itself. He's hidden. He's the Tzfoini. We see it again and again. You know, a person can work so hard to get past the flaws that they have, character defects, work so hard to become open, to become generous, to become erlich, to become to daven. And then the Yitzhara creeps in and takes that very aspect of spirituality that you work so hard to achieve and turns it into some way of hurting somebody else. Some way of withholding something from somebody else. Some way of shaming somebody else. Or some way of not doing a mitzvah because I'm so careful not to do this mitzvah, not to do this aveira, that when it comes to do that mitzvah, I can't do it. The Rebbe says that the main place where the Tzfoini comes in is by Tzedikim, because this is the sin of, this is the Yetzirah of Malchus. This is the Yetzirah of Majesty. Who are the Malachim? Who are the kings? Man Malchi Rabbona. The Chachomim are the ones who really have the most to suffer from this. And he says, you know who can help me here? David HaMelech can help me. David HaMelech, he was so, he was so holy that even in the Yitzhara, there's a Yetzirah Tov. David HaMelech got to the stage of holiness where even the Yitzhara itself, the Tzfoini, was plagued by a Yetzer Tov. Inside, the worst thing that David HaMelech ever does is the Yetzer Tov. Not the other way around. Inside, the best thing that the Tzaddik does is a Yetzer Hara. Like the Tzir of Lublin said about the man who spoke Lashon Hara to him about the Yidah Kodesh, became a period between the Chayz of Lublin and the Yidah Kodesh, and they said, how could you have heard this Lashon Hara about the Yidah Kodesh? How could you have accepted? So he said that the Yetzirah, the Sotam, protected this Yid for 60 years from even a Hira Avera, that he should never even think of a bad thing, so that on the moment when he comes to tell me a Lashon Hara about the holy Yid, I should believe it because he's so holy. Because he was sure when he was telling me that this is Lashon Hara, it was L'shem Shemai. The Tzfoini, this is the hidden one, right? David HaMelech, even when he's doing what he did with Bathsheba, inside, as we know from learning Ishbitz all these years, that everything in the tribe of Yehuda, everything is boyer, burning inside like a furnace, L'shem Shemai. David HaMelech can show me how inside to open up. That the Tzfoini, not only does the Tzfoini not have the power to take my mitzvahs and turn them inside into a derech against Avodas Hashem, but just the opposite. He can show me how to subvert the Yitzhara. That even when the Yitzhara thinks he's got me in his grips, really the Yitzhara Tov is there underneath. I bless you and me. We should laugh as you mal is choik pinu, le shenenu rino, then our mouths will be filled with laughter because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show b'shuv Hashem and shiva Tzion when we all come back to Tzion Yishlayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us that inside every Yid we had subverted the Yitzhara, and the Yitzhara, even when he thought he had his most in his grasp, we were completely free of any Aveira, and we were Kodesh Kudshim, Tzoyin Kudshim, we were God's sheep, and he's the pastor, God is the shepherd, Hashem Roi, Loi Echsar, we will never want for anything, and that everything that we've done will be shown to be in a Kiddush Hashem, not a Chil Hashem, it will be a sanctification, everything that every Yid will have done will have been for the sake of Kvod Shemayim, for the sake of the glory of heaven.